Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Great. We were talking about the Facebook, Google, and Yahoo, and the other social media platforms and gathering all the information. I don't believe most people recognize that all of this personal human data is controlled and collected by these social media platforms, and they're going to use them to market. Why do we think social media like Facebook and Google and Yahoo and Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube, Instagram, why are they all free? They're not free. They're getting information that they're marketing, and the information that they're marketing will ultimately one day be all combined in one source, one place, and with a high probability of that being able to be put into a microchip that is about the size of a grain of rice. What do you say in relationship to that, Greg?
Well, in the age of biometric data, we won't even have to have the microchip. You have data sources out there. Well, you have folks early on in this notion of having your information go to the cloud. I mean, think about that. People are literally saving their information to the cloud. Like there's some cloud up in the... It's a computer somewhere, folks. These computers are being the data. They'll know everything about you. They already do for the most part. You know, they know where you spend your money and where you travel, where you spend your time, who you speak with, both on your phone as well as on social media, what you speak about. Their algorithms, I've already identified you based on your race, sex, sexual orientation, religion. They've already identified every nuance of your life through these social media platforms. My goodness, anything you can imagine, they've already imagined. And they've already partitioned all these things. They've already, you know, set up all the systems. And it will be so easy. It will be so easy in the age of, you know, internationalism. Of course, when the United States has an economic collapse, I say when, not if, when we have an economic collapse and it's coming, you will see a one-world government rise, you know, from the ashes, because our economic destruction will also mean the economic destructions of one country after another across the planet.
Well, that's the reason they're introducing Greg, that's the reason they're introducing through Facebook what they call cryptocurrency. We already have Bitcoin, and all of this will make it a cashless society on a global basis that also the Antichrist will control.
Right. Literally, we could wake up tomorrow morning and find out that the first domino has fallen. And if you've ever watched dominoes fall, they fall really, really, really fast, okay? When you wake up, you know, one morning and you hear that, you know, the Dow, the Nasdaq have lost a quarter of their value, that day's coming. I mean, the notion of a Black Friday or Black Monday, not a Black Friday sale, but a Black Friday collapse or Black Monday collapse, that day is coming in the United States. And when it is really the storm, when it's really the final, the apex of crazy. It will be a domino after domino after domino falling. Now, this is something that has been sought by the Fabian socialists for a long time. Destroy the system that we currently have in order to rebuild in this Fabian socialist paradise-type utopian system. You know, think of what's going on. Listen to the words of Elizabeth Warren, and listen to the words of Bernie Sanders, and listen to the words of AOC. These folks want to see not an American socialism, but an international socialism with no borders. That's what they're calling for, and that's the sort of system that will arise from the chaos. And in that system, the folks that control the technology, they will control the world, i.e., the Antichrist controlling the technology and controlling the world. It's so easy to see. It's plain as the nose on my face. And I'm going to have to go. Nonetheless, it seems to me that there are tidbits of wisdom throughout different cultures and societies if you just know where to find them. And one of those tidbits of wisdom to me was Aesop's Fables. It's called The Eagle and the Arrow, and it talks about an eagle flying through the air. And as he flies, all of a sudden he hears the thud, and he looks down to find an arrow plunged into his side. And as he tumbles to the earth, he looks, and it says, and the haft of the arrow was adorned with the plume of the eagle. The little fletching, the back of that arrow, the thing that made the arrow fly straight, was one of the eagle's own feathers, okay? And the moral of the story is you often give your enemies the means of your own destruction. Now, that can be applicable in so many different areas. It is amazing, but we have truly, as a culture, as a society, because we've left God's standard, because we've left a Christian value system in America, and so much we've been clinging to anything and everything other than decency and godliness and goodliness. Okay.
Yes.
We have given the means of our own destruction to the enemy, and the
yes,
enemy is not the Democrats per se or the socialists per se, but Satan himself.
He's working that out to his end of future control of the world. Satan has always wanted to displace God, always wanted to enthrone himself and be worshipped as God. But Greg, before you go, and I know you have to go, we have this tracking system today in just about everything we do. If you go to Walgreens, if you go to any of the grocery stores, you've generally got a reward card. And that reward card, when you give them the number, it goes into the data bank. That data bank then tells them what you're buying, when you're buying, how often you buy, what expense you pay, how much money you expend for the product, whether you buy the name brand products or the store brand products, et cetera, and they sell that marketing information on you. Now, with that being said, and that's what's happening. This is the reason everything that's called free, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, et cetera, that's not free. They're selling, marketing your data, our information. And just think now, Greg, here's an article that says, the problem with Google's healthcare ambitions is that no one knows where they will end. And it was just became public. It's been taking place now for several months, where Ascension Healthcare, 2,600 hospitals in about 23 states in the United States of America, they've just allowed 50 million patient records to be uploaded. Been done over the past several months, and so-called whistleblower out of Ascension Healthcare just blew the whistle and told what they were doing. They've just announced it. It was called Project Nightingale. The article says the Wall Street Journal accused Google of stealthily collecting sensitive data, personal data, from millions of Americans without their consent. The New York Times soon followed with its own report offering more detail of the Project Nightingale. Further in the article says, the problem is not the reporting. It's that Google's own ambition in healthcare have no clear limits, which is something that Project Nightingale illustrates. At its core, this data deal, Google is centralizing patients' information for Ascension, a nonprofit healthcare provider with thousands of facilities in 23 states. With the help of its cloud tool and G Suite, Google is collating Ascension's patient data, including medical history, medication history, lab tests, biographical information, family information, et cetera, in return, Google learns how to build its own medical tools, which it hopes to sell far and wide. As a creepy little extra spin, neither Google nor Ascension informed their patients that their information was being used and marketed in this way, but this is completely legal, according to the Wired Press that wrote the article, gave the article. Further, it says, where things get murky is asking, what will Google do next? What does it do with this data? And what are its long-term ambitions with Ascension? According to the stories and press releases yesterday, Google is doing the following. Listen, testing a service that would use its search and artificial intelligence technology to analyze all patient records and determine patient habits and movement. Number two, testing software that will allow medical providers to search all patients' electronic health records by specificity and by data categories and to create graphics of the information like blood tests and results, et cetera, et cetera. Thirdly, providing tools that Ascension can use to support improvements in clinical quality and patient safety. And it further says, exploring artificial intelligence machine learning application that will have the potential to support improvements in clinical and qualitative effectiveness. Now, that's looking at what's called the positive side. This further article further says, you could summarize most of this by saying Google is building a search engine for healthcare providers, also following its long-held corporate mission, quote, to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful for Google, end quote. I don't think you could have stated it any better. In fact, the deal that they worked out was some, $3.5 trillion in the U.S. alone, and they're working with other companies such as Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, et cetera, with the healthcare provision of medical records. Greg, does that sound scary to you?
My goodness, for everything that's in the culture that can be used for good, it can also be used for evil. You know, Satan's done that for a real long time. You know, first off, follow the money. The money tells you a lot in this scenario, but also realize that with all the information, all the data that's out there, these folks know exactly where they can pressure, and you'll succumb to the pressure. Think about it. You fast forward. If it's a medical thing that they know, if it's a financial thing that they know, if it's a relationship thing that they know, write down the list. Each one of these and 100 more, you can exert pressure in a person's life. I am convinced today that operation is great, and it's also dangerous. They say that Epstein, that didn't kill himself, by the way, that Epstein had files on hundreds and hundreds of high-profile people, politicians, business leaders. They claim that man made a lot of his wealth by extorting folks. Now, somehow or another, all this stuff, it hasn't disappeared. You have other handlers holding this data, I guarantee you right now. I wonder how many politicians we have in D.C., how many judges we have on the bench, perhaps justices on the Supreme Court, that data is out there on these individuals, and they can be manipulated, they can be controlled. Now you fast forward into a culture and a society where the Antichrist is wielding his wand, where the Antichrist is in control of all this data. Then you get a glimpse of what I believe John saw in that vision. Then you get a glimpse of how chaotic things will be and how powerful the Antichrist will appear to be by virtue of the fact all
Greg,
of this data,
can you
all
imagine
of this
now,
access.
Our listeners
I'm,
need,
I'm not
our, listen, our listeners need to understand this, Greg. Can you imagine in the healthcare records, let's say that you're a veteran and you're sitting down with your medical provider, and the provider says, do you ever feel some way unhappy? Do you feel depressed? Have you ever thought about killing yourself, et cetera,
anxious,
et cetera, et cetera? And then all of this goes into that data bank, and eventually the government will allow the law enforcement to tap into that data bank to make a determination to enforce the red flag laws as to who can have a weapon and who cannot. It will control the globe. This data, I'm talking about this present data that's being uploaded now to the so-called cloud by way of Google, with over 50 million patient files now, and that's not counting the patient files that's been uploaded to other data banks with other major hospital healthcare providers across the nation. This is just simply the second largest one that's come to our knowledge that they're doing this. Can you imagine, though, the bits and the pieces? Because in that data, that will be the health records, the medical records, the lab tests, be all of the all of your siblings, all of those that you're related to. You generally sit down when you talk with a physician. They want to know how many brothers and how many sisters and what kind of health problems. It is a total network of pulling together, along with everything else that's out there already, that will be in microchip form, that can be uploaded or downloaded at the whims of the Antichrist and control the whole globe. I don't know about our listeners.
Now,
but I am passionate about that because we're setting the stage, ladies and gentlemen, openly, willingly, volitionally setting the stage of this taking place. And we know it's going to happen because the Bible says it will.
Now, I've got a question for you, and I know there are a lot of folks listening right now that have this same exact question. All right, preacher, now you've said it. Now you've identified what the problem will be. You've given an eschatological view that means it's completely logical and it's plausible. It fits with the scripture. It fits with what's going on in the culture. What do I do as a believer? What do I all of a sudden join some Mennonite or Amish community and, and throw out all technology, preacher? What do I do? What do I do?
What do we do is to recognize what is coming, and in the recognition of that, Luke 21:28, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh, number one. Number two, we need to be passionate about reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, understanding that we are in those last days, understanding that the Bible is correct and all that God's Word says that will take place shall take place. We need to be passionate about being in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching, New Testament church where we can learn the Word, apply the Word, inculcate the Word, and impact the lives of others with the Word of God. That's what we need to do.
Do you think, and I'm gonna take some notes as you're talking here, do you think the message to the seven churches has any applicability to this discussion today and to the church broad today. You know, you get the seven churches. Which of those churches? This is good because this will help me even in the midst of what I'm doing right now. Those seven churches. Was there a message that we can glean, that we can pull out for today, for the church, for the ecclesia, for the body of Christ today? I know this may be off the subject, but it's on the subject because this is an end time view. This is the very beginning of the book of Revelation. This is the book in the Bible that it seems like 99% of preachers dodge, avoid, bob, weave, and do anything and everything they can do other than preach on the book of Revelation. But there's a blessing in reading and hearing the words. So tell me, what was the blessing? What was the intent? What was the purpose, that the truncated version, elevator talk, for those seven churches that are mentioned in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation?
Well, I'll just, rather than going through all seven of those, I'll just tell you very briefly, Greg, and this is, I'm passionate about this because I've written the book on that subject, Jesus Speaks to the Churches, and that's speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and in the dispensations throughout all of the dispensations of the world, each of those churches can be recognized in a dispensation, and you can look at all the seven of them, and not just in a dispensational fashion, but we find those seven styles, seven types, seven categories of churches in the world today. And one of them, primarily, you find the church in America today is the Church of Ephesus, which had left their first love. They were lukewarm. They were absolutely not hot for God. They were not passionate for Jesus Christ. And he spoke to them then and said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come and come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick, and out of thy place, except thou repent." There's a need today for the many churches, I believe, and I'm speaking to Christians, I hope, for a large part. Christians need to be in churches where the Word of God is preached. The church at Philadelphia is the church that is spoken of that Jesus had no condemnation for, because it was small, but it was preaching the Word, sticking to the Word. It was nothing about the fluff that you find. There are many churches today that's identified in those seven churches. Many of them think that they're wealthy, they think they're powerful and prestigious, and they have a lot of show and shine, but Jesus said, "You're dead," and he's talking about spiritually. So yes, there's the application today that we need to be awake and alive, and in our churches we need to recognize the need for understanding the Word of God and passionate about the truth of the Word of God to share it with others. Absolutely.
Beyond an evangelical focus, if you had to lay out 1, 2, 3, 4 points, and evangelism, I think probably hit the top of the list. But in an end time scenario, you know, you have a lot of folks that believe we're going to live through the tribulation, that believers are going to, you have a pre-trib position yourself. But for those individuals, if they believe that, they have the prepper mentality, the preparing for the worst kind of thing. It's almost a Boy Scout mentality. It's not necessarily the prepper, but being prepared, you know, that's an element. Where does that fit in, or what other advice would you have? You know, certainly the church ought to be evangelical. The fields are white in the harvest. But the laborers are few. Now, I've yanked two different verses, I think, there. Nonetheless, we see that the church in America seems to have dropped a lot of its evangelical focus, evangelizing the lost. That, I'd say, is number one. Is there a number two? You know, should we be like the Boy Scouts? Should we be over there prepping? Should we be hoarding our nuts so as to be prepared for rough times, because we don't know? You know, the Scripture says we'll not know the day nor the hour. So should we be preparing? And what else should we be doing?
I say this very succinctly, Greg, and you've heard me say, and multitudes listening have heard me say this. We need to prepare as though we're going to be here for the next 1,000 years, and yet be ready to be lifted out in the rapture in the next 30 seconds. That is the preparation. And in that preparation, there's no greater preparation than knowing the Word of God, having the Word of God hidden in our hearts, and being ready ourselves to meet Jesus, and to have our families ready, and our friends ready, and our neighbors ready, that they might know Christ as Savior. That's part of the evangelism. But no, the Christian will not go through the tribulation. There's no point in investing in the sea rations that will last 25 and 30 years. Jimmy Baker is out on the West Coast in California promoting log cabins that you can build up in the mountains so you can get away from the Antichrist. He's promoting buying the Wise Food products, which is sea rations that will last up to 25 years, and so you can outlast the lifetime of the Antichrist. And even having the promotion of some little cell, not cell, but a group telephone communication system so you can talk with your friends, relatives, and neighbors without being heard by the Antichrist. It's a bunch of horse feathers. It has no application to what you find in the reality of Scripture. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared, first of all, through salvation, prepared in having our families ready, and being in a church where we're being taught the Word, and we can impact the lives of others with the Word of God. Yes, when it comes now to financial aspects and things and doing, we don't know how long this rise in our economic system will last. As you've said so many years, and I believe it's correct, that there's coming a day when it will all fall apart. I believe that. We don't know when that's going to be. So there needs to be some modicum of preparation in that realm, but not because we're trying to hoard something because we want to have plenty, but because we know, we are understanding that we need to prepare for what could be a bad future and for the lifetime that we'll live in that. But we're going to be lifted out as a church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be not be in the tribulation. We'll be lifted out, taken out. Revelation 3:10 says that, and in other places, several places in the Scripture, we find that we will be taken out, caught up, lifted out of the time of the tribulation. We'll not go through the first day of it. That will be something that the Antichrist will rule and reign over those that have not said yes to Jesus Christ. But during the days of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, God is going to be dealing with the globe as in general, the Gentile world. Last 3.5 years of the tribulation, God will be dealing specifically with the nation of Israel so that they'll look up and recognize Yeshua Messiah and say yes to Him as Savior and His Lord. So that's the essence of it.
Well, I'll go now, but I just want to let you know how much of a blessing you are. I pray that you just keep on knocking it out of the park. I pray that pastors and preachers and teachers that are listening will reach out and inquire, hopefully be enlightened and encouraged to go and share the truth and love, not to dodge, Bob, avoid those subjects that may be a little sticky for them, but that they dig into the Word and know it better. And I just wanted to let you know how much I love you and appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I am so thankful for you. God bless you, Greg. You have a blessed day today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the signs of the last days, and specifically we're talking about the Ascension Healthcare, 2,600 hospitals in 23 states, uploading some 50 million records of their patients without the patient's knowledge to Google that will be delivering for them that material. And it's a several trillion-dollar transaction that's taken place. And in the medical records, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it has your date of birth. It has the illnesses, all of your diseases, all of the lab tests, all of your doctor's names, all of your family records. It also has you, includes your Social Security number. It has everything about you, every test that's ever been done, likely your palm print or your thumbprint or your fingerprints, because now with most of the hospitals you go in for any services, they want an iris scan, a palm print, or a thumbprint. All of that is part of these medical records, ladies and gentlemen, and it's being stored. Here's an article that touches on it again. I've got about a dozen of these articles before me. Google's secret cache of medical data includes names and full details of millions of people. The secret scheme involves the transfer of Google of healthcare data held by Ascension, the second largest healthcare provider in the United States. The secret transfer of the personal medical data of up to 50 million Americans from one of the largest healthcare providers in America to Google has expressed anger to The Guardian that patients are being kept in the dark about this massive deal and the transaction. The secret scheme, first reported by Wall Street Journal, involves the transfer of Google of healthcare data held by Ascension, the second largest healthcare provider. And it goes on to talk about it. The disclosed documents include highly confidential outlines of patients in this, and it was called Project Nightingale, laying out four stages of pillars of the secret project. By the time the transfer is completed next March, it will have passed the personal data of 50 million or more of the patients in 23 states to Google, with 10 million or so files already having been moved to Google, with no warning having been given to the patients or any of the doctors. It and the article further says, in it, they raise serious concerns about the patient's personal health information that will be used by Google to build a new artificial intelligence record-keeping system on every human being. Further in the article, it says they would be alarmed to learn their names, addresses, date of birth, medical records, lab records, hospitalization records, and much more is included in Project Nightingale that's now been turned over to Google to be marketed. And I am fearful. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, Google is not ironclad that their system cannot be hacked by foreign nations or others that know how to do so. Google has a mindset of controlling the data on every human being. And picture this falling into the hands of the Antichrist. Then you won't have to wonder, how is he going to control the world? I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. We missed our caller. Ladies and gentlemen, everything that we do today, we have some kind of data bank that it goes into. And this is being the 50 million plus records, medical records, is just the beginning point of what will happen, because as I read further articles on it, Mayo Clinic and other major hospital chains across America are doing the same thing. They're uploading their data, their medical records, to other vendors, not just with Google, but with other vendors. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. What is it that is gathered about us? What information is out there about us? Driver's license, for example, the Gold Star, now that's required, will have all of your data, all of your driving data, all of your police records, et cetera, et cetera. Passport records, immigration records, birth records with your date of birth and your ethnicity, school records, public school records that provide all the information about you and your siblings and your parents, college application, educational background, Social Security data, income records, income tax records, medical records. We're talking about that now. Census Bureau records, the donations that you make to charities, your eye color, your hair color, your height, weight, signature, all stored electronically, your books checked out at the libraries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about something that from the human standpoint is very scary. Here's an article, the headline says, Google's Project Nightingale gathers personal health data on millions of Americans. Here's another that says, Google's hospital data sharing deal raises privacy fears, and it talks about it goes against the law even with doing so. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not something that is unusual. Here's an article that says, a Russian patriot warns the Antichrist will control humans through gadgets and technology. Listen to what this person says. The leader of the Russian Orthodox Church has said that humans' dependence on modern technology will result in the coming of the Antichrist. In an interview with the Russian state media, Patriarch said, explained he does not entirely oppose gadgets, but warns against falling into the slavery of your smartphones and other gadgets. The Patriot said that the collection of user data, including location, interest, and fears, will make it possible for human beings to be controlled by outside forces. Control from a single point is a harbinger of the Antichrist to come. The Antichrist is personally that will be the head of the world, one world government controlling the entire human race. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to look up, lift up our heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.